I don't know whether you realize it or not, but if we just look around us and not look too far, we could see that the new spirituality or the teachings of the new age have crept into major areas of our culture. You think of medicine, you think of the media, you think of even education, with yoga being taught as exercise, and that's going to be another episode. But are there new age teachings in the church? Well, I'm going to give you five indicators in this show today that I believe that there are new age practices that are creeping into the church. My name is Rob Lundberg, and you are listening to the Let's Get Real podcast. Welcome to the Let's Get Real podcast. My name is Rob Lundberg, and you know, over the years in my time during the counter-cult apologetics ministry back in the late 80s or so, you hear of the New Age movements. And of course, I'm going to do a segment on the New Age movements, but if you really want to know some things about the New Age, you can get do a little bit of reading ahead if you go to my website at roblundberg.org and talk about where I have a page right on the navigation bar now. I've got to move some things around. If you've ever been to my webpage, you notice that I had a resource that had dropped. But I've got now a page right out there so that you can see it talking about the New Age spirituality and responding to it. And you know, the New Age movement has, with its education programs and psychiatric treatment center programs, you know, they've gone and done some things like dynamic meditation and of course it's nothing but glorified TM, transcendental meditation. But what I want to talk about today is not anything like that. What I want to deal with today is the church. You know, Jesus said that we needed to be very, very discerning in our day. He said, see to it that no one deceives you. He said that in Matthew chapter 24, and he talks about false prophets and false teachings and deceiving spirits. The Apostle Paul also deals with a lot of those things, talking about the teaching of demons and the teaching of false teachers that are creeping into the churches, even in the first century, with Gnosticism and some of the other views as far as. And then, of course, the first century and second century apologists, they were dealing with the views that were creeping in about the nature of Jesus. But now we are a couple millennia later, and we are now seeing what I would consider New Age practices creeping into various churches now. And I'm not talking about bad Christian music, even though you might run into some bad Christian music in your worship services, because what they do is they denigrate God, bringing them down to the level being a big battle fighter and make them more of like a clash of the titans more so than the holy, infinite, invisible, changeless God that we worship and that the Bible discloses. But what I'm talking about here is something that, well, as culture has changed, there are some things that the culture has crept into the church. And the first indicator that I want to talk to you about that I can do, and by the way, I could do a whole show on each of these five things. And it may be just, it may be fodder for a show or two later on down the road when I talk about these things. But I want to give you five basic New Age beliefs that have bled themselves into the church. Number one is this thing called the law of attraction. Now, you see the law of attraction really out there would say like Joel Osteen, who I call Doogie Howser, MDiv. I don't even think he's got a Master's of Divinity, but nevertheless, you see it with Oprah. You see it with Tony Robbins. You saw it more so with like Tony Robbins. And then, of course, now what we see today is this is, it has become, well, folks, it's become very popular. And this is the belief that if we think positively and we have faith, we will get whatever we desire from God. Now, that sounds like the prosperity gospel, which is heretical as well. But the law of attraction is based on the idea that like attracts like. Teachers of the law of attraction will often tell you to believe, to imagine, or even visualize what you want from God, and He will make it true for you. However, what we need to understand here is that as believers, we need to remember first and foremost that you and I cannot manipulate reality. That is occultism. Okay? That is occultism. We cannot change reality. Now, we can change some things with regards to how we feel. If we feel depressed, we can think that we change our reality and we can just make our reality like we're down in the dumps, or vice versa. But what we need to understand, first and foremost, folks, you know, this is a matter of trying to receive things that we may not be able to handle, like material wealth. You know, you think of a lot of people who have gotten rich really, really quick and they haven't been able to handle it very well. But the law of attraction, remember, when you think of that, think of like attracts like. And that believe, imagine, visualize what you want may not be what you need. And that what you may want may not be from God. It may be just you're trying to manipulate your reality and something that you may not be able to handle. But first and foremost, as believers, we need to remember that our full reward is in heaven. Now, please don't get me wrong. Okay? I don't want you to think that I am against God being a cosmic killjoy granting us our wishes or our desires. Yet we still have to be mindful that when we desire things, especially like earthly treasures, we ought to ask for His will to be done and not ours. And we should be surrendering to the complete will of God and the will of God that He has laid out for us and seek to live a life that glorifies Him and not glorify ourselves. See, that's the central thing about the law of attraction is that you're glorifying yourself because what you're doing is if you believe and if you imagine and you visualize, it'll come to pass. Well, that's not how it works. We want to live a life that glorifies God, not ourselves, because we are called to trust and love God above all, and not the things of this world. And if you don't believe me, check out 1 John 2:15. And as I turn there, I want you to think about this from the perspective that God is not a cosmic killjoy. He is one that will allow us to have, like I said, according to His will, things that will bless us. But at the same time, not all of us are called to be that way. John the Apostle says this. He says, "Do not love the world or the things that belong to the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." That's 1 John 2:15. So we need to be very careful how we ask and how we desire things, but don't think that you can believe and receive. Don't think that you can imagine and receive. Don't think that you can visualize something and it become a reality for you. God is not a cosmic genie, if you will. Okay, so that's this mentality. The law of attraction, that's the first one. Another one here is follow your heart. And I hear a lot of Christians talking about this one. You know, follow your heart. You know, if I got the desires of my heart and not follow the will of God, I'd be an immoral wretch. Let me just let that simmer for a minute. And I think that would go for every one of us. Because this New Age belief has bled into the church is the belief that we should follow our feelings and that our emotions themselves are the indicators of truth and guidance. Now, you know, I know it says in the Proverbs, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. But, you know, there's a flip side to that as well. You can be haughty, and as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. He could be haughty. Or you could be down and depressed and just down in the dregs, and so you are there. But please understand that truth is that which corresponds to reality. Truth ultimately starts with God because his nature is truth. But truth itself, in a philosophical sense, is that which corresponds to reality. Truth is absolute, and if it's absolute, it's invisible and unchanging. It reflects the nature of God, who is absolute, invisible, and unchanging, as we reveal it, as God discloses himself in Scripture. Okay, so if we just go and trust our emotions are very real, but they're not a source of truth. Because if we let our emotions be our guide, we need to remember that there are three sides to truth. It's what our emotions tell us, and what the converse of those emotions tell us, and then what really actually is happening. And then also feelings. Feelings are very real as well. You know, we could, like I said, we could be feeling down in the dumps, but, you know, feelings and emotions are not indicators of truth. And people are often told to do what feels right. It sounds pretty good initially, but Scripture reminds us that trusting in our own minds is foolish. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26 says this: whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. So wisdom is not truth. You know, I hear Mormon missionaries, they'll tell me that, you know, if you just ask God, you know, if the Book of Mormon is true, praying James 1:5, you know, if anybody walks in wisdom, you know, if you walk in wisdom, let him ask of God and he will give you, he'll let you know. We don't have to pray about what is true, because truth doesn't change. I know what it is. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. That's what I meant. And I was trying to think through that. But you know, we have to pursue the wisdom of God. You know, Solomon, the great king of Israel, the successor to David's throne, and if you really want to see how all that came about with the fact that Adonijah was declaring himself king and David declaring Solomon king, that's a really fun passage, historical narrative in the book of 1 Kings. You can actually see how all that came about. It's really, really fascinating that Adonijah actually felt like he was being called by God to be king of both kingdoms, North and South Kingdom. It hadn't been split yet, but see, feelings do not determine reality. Experiences do not determine reality. Feelings and experiences and emotions are very real to the person experiencing them, but they are not the reality unless those conform themselves to reality. Again, Proverbs 28:26, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered, and that wisdom comes from God. Other versions read this: he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. We know that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all else, according to Jeremiah 17, verse 9. And our feelings, again, are very valuable in our human experience. They should not serve as our compass. Rather, we are told that those who live according to the Spirit should set their minds of the things of the Spirit and not of the things of the flesh. The danger of following our hearts is that the enemy can use our emotions to confuse us and lead us astray from the will of God, causing us to sin. Because why? sin feels good. Number three is one that you often hear. Again, I mentioned Joel Osteen, but I also bring in Kenneth Copeland and also Oprah and Chopra here. And that's the, we are little or mini gods. And of course, I mentioned in my episode on what, five reasons why I'm not a New Ager that, you know, we're gods. And God is the ultimate reality in the New Age and even in Hinduism. And we have to find ourselves in the knowledge because we have forgotten our reality in a previous reincarnation. So what kind of God does that? No. Okay. So this belief actually for the church was popularized by Kenneth Copeland, Joel Osteen, and Oprah, among others. And the idea is that because we are children of God, we are also mini gods and can obtain anything that we please because we are also divine in nature. Now, where do we see this in the church? Well, we see this in the church when individuals focus on serving self and their desire for money, for fame, and for material wealth. They present the idea that Jesus died so that we can have all that we want here on this earth. And while this may sound good to itching ears, the Bible consistently teaches us that God is holy, God is righteous, God is omnipresent, omniscient, and yet man is full of sin and has only been made blameless because of the finished work of Jesus Christ at the cross and declared righteous by God's gavel, going and declaring us justified in Romans 5:1. But folks, not our own innate divinity. So we have the fact of follow your heart and the law of attraction. And then, of course, we are mini gods. Number four is one that has crept into the church. And I hear it with a few people every so often is this whole idea of oneness. Oneness is the idea that we became or become righteous or one with God by being sinless. Well, we don't become sinless. And how do they get there? Well, again, it's the idea that we become righteous or one with God by being sinless, not by faith alone. And we know what Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, that for we, by grace we've been saved through faith, by grace through faith, not by works, right? So that nobody can boast. We can't boast about our righteousness. We are not righteous apart from God. We are not declared righteous apart from God. But we also don't become one or perfect in God until we are united with Him in heaven. Not in this reality, but in heaven. However, we are called also to obey God by the renewing of our minds daily and repenting when we fall short. Christian life is a life of repentance. The Word of God is very clear that, folks, if we say we have no sin and we think that we don't have sin, if we think that we can live a sinless life, Scripture is very, very clear on this. And I run into Christians who believe in sinless perfection every so often and say, yeah, I'm not a sinner. They just sinned because they lied. But it says in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, this is cool. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, this is verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, you know, God has declared us righteous. So it is kind of like our coming before Dad and saying, I'm sorry, I confess this, and He declared, and He, you know, He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But then verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make God, Him, it says in the text, Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So, if we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful because we have that relationship. and faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say that we have not sinned, and I hear atheists talk about this sometimes, if we say that we haven't sinned, oh, I haven't sinned. Oh, guess what? You just did. And the whole thing of it is we make God a liar when we say that we haven't sinned. And not only that, how can the word of God be in somebody who says, well, I haven't sinned or I don't sin? It's not there. That person, I hate to say it, that person does not know God. So remember, we are not called to be perfect. We are called to be holy. And that word Greek there, the Greek word there is hagios. It means to be set apart. We can't be perfect. We're not going to be perfect until we go home to be with Jesus. We are called to be set apart from this world system. And if once we realize that and we understand our position in Jesus Christ, I think a big burden will be lifted. And I think a lot of people in the church just need to understand that they need to trust God, because that's what faith really means. Faith is not believing that Christianity is true and that Jesus is the Christ. Yes, you got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, but we need to trust. We need to understand the Greek word, the Latin word. I'm sorry, semper fi. We see it on marine bumper stickers. You know, the red bumper stickers with the pretty yellow writing, semper fi. It means always trustworthy. Fidelis is the Latin word for faithful, but that word means trustworthy, particularly when you're in a foxhole fighting next to each other, shoulder to shoulder in a battle. So we have oneness. We are little gods. Follow your heart. And the law of attraction. The last one I'm going to bring in here, and this one's going to be this one that we've spoken of before, is this is the all roads lead to heaven thing. And this is the teaching that one can believe in Jesus and practice other faiths. They believe that there are many spiritual paths or religious paths to God and heaven. And when we read the Gospel of Matthew, we see that Jesus is very clear that we must enter through the narrow gate to receive salvation. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction, it says in Matthew 7:13. The only path to heaven is through Jesus Christ, because in John 14, verse 6, Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. After all the darkness and deception I have experienced in life as a former atheist, I can attest to this one thing, that God is powerful, God is mighty, and that Jesus is the name that is above every names, of all the names. And if there's anything else that you and I can take from this segment of the Let's Get Real podcast, and that is this, I pray that you take away that when we lean on our own understanding and look to ourselves as truth, as a truth beater, we only end up in deception. While it is good to look to pastors, teachers, and influencers for spiritual growth and support, we may never forget, or we do not need to forget, I should say, that you and I have the Holy Spirit if we're truly believers. And that Holy Spirit is with us. We bring the Spirit to the temple. Why? Because the temple of the Holy Spirit is in us. So we bring the temple to church. We bring the temple to assembly every Sunday, every time we gather together as believers. But may we never forget also that we need to test the spirits to see if they're from God. And finally, may we never forget the gift of our Bibles. We need to get our nose in the book more than ever today, folks. With the way things are going, we need to be discerning. Get yourself a good Bible that you're going to read and understand. I know that people have favorite translations, and I'm talking about a translation. I'm not talking about a paraphrase. I'm not talking about, say, the NLT, which is not a translation. It's a paraphrase. It's not even a dynamic equivalent. But I mean, as the lower part on that scale of translations would be the NIV. Then I would go to ESV or New KJV. New American Standard is my favorite. I like that one. But also the Holman translation is a dynamic equivalent as well. So you know, something that you're going to be able to understand, that you're going to get from, and you're going to get a good reading from it. Folks, that is the gift of God that we have, the Bible. The Bible is a reliable word of God. It is a reliable collection of historical documents, 66 books, written by 40 different writers, 3 different languages, 3 different countries, Asia, Europe, and Africa, 3 different languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. And it's a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses. And they're writing to us about supernatural events that are direct fulfillment to specific prophecies, and they claim that their writings are divine rather than human in origin. It has been protected. It is sufficient. It is inerrant. Yes, it is inerrant verbal plenary inspiration inerrancy. And folks, if you do have a question, you know that my email is always open, and we can dialogue on this. You can email me at roblundberg315@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to our show today. Thank you for listening to the Let's Get Real podcast. Please share this. I know I've been kind of bouncing around a little bit. We didn't do a podcast, just a time for confession here. I forgot to put the last episode on the previous week, so that's what was last week's episode. So if you see any disconnect there or you hear any disconnect, that's what happened. But I just want to let you know I'm being transparent with my audience, and hopefully we're back on schedule here. I do want to let you know that the World Religions course for Cornerstone College has been finished, prepared, accepted, and we start classes on the 14th. If you live locally and you want to understand how to do apologetics to the World Religions, let me encourage you to contact Cornerstone College in Fredericksburg, Virginia, and you can go and reach out to them. And you can do it even distance, because we're going to be doing it online. So if you want to do it distance, I think you can do it as well. Contact by going to searching Cornerstone College of Virginia. I'll put the link in the description, and you can reach out to them. There's still time to enroll, but I have written and I am writing the apologetics core for that concentration so that you can get an apologetics education. Please know that if you have any questions about that, you can email me also at roblundberg315. I want to invite you to do that. So until next week, this is Rob Lundberg from the Let's Get Real podcast. That's what this is. I'm sorry, man. I tell you, a week off will do number on you, you know, with everything that's been going on lately with our preparation for that course. But yes, this is the Let's Get Real podcast with Rob Lundberg. And I want to let you know, I appreciate you as my audience. And I want to let you know that we will be back with you next week with a episode on probably something pertaining to the New Age. We are actually looking at some of the things that are happening with the deconstruction in the church. So something along that line next week. So until next week, this is Rob Lundberg from the Let's Get Real podcast. Go out and give them heaven. And Lord willing, we'll be back with you next week. Lord bless.